All right, everyone. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. on a Power Friday, where it is time for us to gain some political insights. And we talk about the fact that this is the program where we encourage the building of ourselves on the individual, family, and community levels. And I've shared with you before that on the community level, we talk about local, state, national, and international matters. And joining us today is the great Dr. Craig Albert, professor extraordinaire, historian and philosopher, all rolled into one, bringing us the 411. Dr. Albert, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesome after that introduction. How can I be doing better? Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Good to have you back with us, too.
Awesome to be here, as always.
And we have so much going on all across the country, all around the world.
Yes, we do.
It's never a boring moment.
Big month for politics, international politics especially.
Yeah. And speaking of international politics, I know we've done this before, but just for the benefit of people who may be catching us together for the first time, could you share just a little bit more about Dr. Craig Albert?
Yeah, sure. I have my PhD in political science from the University of Connecticut. A great basketball program, building a football program.
Yes.
I specialize in international security and security studies, ethnic conflict, cyber terrorism, cyber war, cyber conflict, and I dabble in political philosophy and American politics as well. To get your PhD, you have to specialize in two or three different areas. So those are the main areas are war studies, American politics, and then political philosophy, which I focus more on for my master's. Now I'm an associate professor in the Department of Social Sciences at Augusta University in the discipline of political science, and the director of our graduate program, a Master of Arts in Intelligence and Security Studies. So that's an amazing, amazing program. That program, if you don't mind me talking a minute
Please.
About it, combines, is really unique, and I encourage anybody that has interest in this in the area to email me or tweet me to get enrolled in this program. But it combines three areas of intelligence collection and intelligence theory, strategic cybersecurity. So what are the causes of cyber conflict, how do policies implement tactics and strategy to deal with cyber war, and then traditional international and national security studies, war studies, terrorism, counterterrorism, mm-hmm. all that. So we have all of that program that you can graduate within 2 years, taking three classes a semester as a grad student. So we cater to people that want to be in the policy realm, to military members, people that want to go into government, work in research, think tank, and any of those foci, we can teach you. And it's going to be a prestigious program, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Five more years, we're going to be world-ranked, outdoing Harvard, I promise.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to ask something, Dr. Albert. You mentioned security with regards to internet security.
Yeah.
One of the things that when he was in office, I mean, from the very beginning and throughout his tenure almost, President Obama kept telling us that internet security was going to be, cybersecurity, he was saying, was going to be the, or already was, one of the major concerns for national security. Was he exaggerating or was he on point?
There's debate on this. Certainly at the individual level, it is a great threat. So cybercrime that occurs, you know, through those phishing email scans, scams to Spears phishing, trying to get your information. I mean, we're so at risk for that. And it's very easy for talented hackers or what they're known as crackers, people that actually get into your system, take that information. So the difference between a hacker and a hacker just probes around. A cracker does something terrible to you. They crack your system and take that information out. So we're all exposed to this type of threat. So President Obama was certainly on cue there. If you bring it out to the larger level, the strategic level, when we're talking about cyber terrorism and cyber war, we're still not quite certain what the dilemmas are that we face in that aspect. In fact, we can't really agree to a definition of cyber terrorism or cyber war. There's some foundations out there, but no one's in agreement, not even just in academia. But if you take the members of the military, if you take Army Cyber Command, NSA Georgia, out here located in Augusta, combine them with, you know, Washington, D.C., or some policy think tanks, every one of those entities are going to give you different definitions, different concepts of cyber terrorism and cyber war. And all of those different agencies and entities are going to give you different threat assessment of what we face, depending on what their function is and what they're trying to achieve in their processes. So I think concerning cyber terrorism, it's hard for a terrorist organization to gain serious critical infrastructure knowledge to know how to carry out a cyber attack that's going to inflict physical damage on critical infrastructure systems. So we don't have much to worry about from that angle if you define terrorism as violence being perpetrated against you. Now, it's possible state-to-state cyber war or cyber attacks, which we have quite a lot of, a big record on since 2005 especially, a state has the resources, the knowledge base, the know-how to hack into your critical infrastructure, can implant malware, viruses, something called a logic bomb, which triggers your computer structure to malfunction. It can actually cause, in certain examples and in certain situations, your infrastructure to actually explode, to malfunction enough to where it explodes. So you can actually have physical harm, personal body injury from this type of cyber attack. There's a few examples of this occurring with no deaths yet, but some physical infrastructure destruction. So that's more likely the scenario, is this type of cyber war between states, probably combined with a kinetic operation. So that we've seen this with Russia when they invaded Georgia, that they hacked the electronic grid of Georgia, they hacked their signals intelligence of Georgia, wiped it out through a cyber attack, and then their tanks came across the border. So it was a simultaneous type of attack, one in the cyber realm, one in the kinetic realm. That's a serious possibility that government policymakers and academics like myself are trying to
help us see that connection more clearly. They knocked things out in cyber first. The grid went out.
Yep.
For the purpose of just basically disabling part of their defense system?
Yeah, exactly. So the Georgian military, you know, through radar, satellite, all this type of stuff, to try to see the enemy approaching or crossing the border, they rely on advanced computer technology and computer science technology. So what Russia did in 2008 was wipe that completely out, took their telecommunications network, their internet connection offline through a very sophisticated cyber attack, and then Georgian authorities, we're talking about the country of Georgia for the viewers out there, so the Georgian authorities were caught off guard, and then the Russian military came across the line, and there was a short Russo-Georgian war that occurred. Georgia lost, and what resulted from that is two ethnic enclaves inside of Georgia declaring independence and aligning with Russia. So now there's these two small territories inside the country of Georgia that are technically independent countries, according to their populace, that align very closely with Russia. Something similar to what occurred with Crimea in Ukraine and eastern Ukraine, though those aren't independent entities yet. That's what Russia was going for, was to try to get that to happen in Ukraine, just the way it happened in Georgia. And so that ability to wipe out your cyber connectivity, to wipe out your satellites, to wipe out your radar installations, to wipe out any type of critical infrastructure system that protects you or lets you be aware that an enemy is within your radius or is posing immediate danger to you, that's what we have to worry about, that type of cyber capability, especially from four main actors, North Korea, Russia, Iran, and China.
So with Russia having so effectively interfered with our election in 2016, does that suggest to us that we really, really need to be concerned, or is this something that's easily resolvable?
Oh, we should definitely be concerned. They're very sophisticated, and in the field we say that cyber offense is easier than cyber defense. In other words, it's easier to attack somebody's cyber infrastructure than it is to defend from that attack, because you don't know. Because of how advanced technology increases, it's such a progressive rate. You know, the amount of technology from today to yesterday concerning cyber computer technology, you know, it doubles or triples. Yeah. I mean, it's so quick. So, in fact, I can give you a statistic. There's something called a zero-day vulnerability. What that is, I'll try to explain it for everybody. it's a virus or a malfunction that was created that you haven't found yet. So nobody knows about it except the people that found it. That created it. Mm-hmm. We find, the United States government estimates that we find 80,000 of those per day.
Goodness.
Per day, 80,000 zero-day vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So you think about that. I mean, that's insane to think about how much you have to prepare for that. In the case of Russia, one of the most advanced cyber operators on the planet, concerning 2016, I mean, it was very sophisticated. They've done this throughout, but they're doing something that's almost underreported when we talk about fake news. There's a huge element of cyber operations when it comes to fake news. So they have the ability to plant fake sources within, let's say, CNN or Fox News's database. So it's called source hacking. So they'll plant information in your infrastructure, in your computer system. They'll break in, they hack in, they crack in, plant sources in there that don't exist with full biography. So, you know, you have this source telling you that Donald Trump did something or that Hillary Clinton did something. You know, CNN, let's just take them. I'm not picking on them, you know, just using them for an example. CNN gets a news scoop, right? They check the source. They click the link on the source. The source's biography has all of the proper credentials that you need to cite that source, and you run with that source's story. It's all made up. Russia completely hacked the infrastructure and made all that information up. We had a little bit of this that we don't know that Russia did this when it came to the Parkland shootings in Florida. So there's, if everybody remembers, there was about a 12-hour news cycle where the news was saying that the shooter, I can't remember his name off the top of my head now, was a part of a white nationalist group.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? That was source hacking. That was false news, fake news. Fake news completely different than how Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, says fake news. When he says fake news, he's like, oh, they're not telling the truth, you know, or they're bending the truth or something like that. This is literal planting false data. Disinformation, it's propaganda. Disinformation warfare is what we would call it, or information warfare, but disinformation in this instance. And they hack in, and you have no understanding of what's going on. So Russia actually has the capability to hack into your Twitter account, to hack into your Facebook account, to gain access over your personal computer and type information in. So they can actually make you post something. And the whole world will be like, I can't believe Carl just said that.
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't say it. And they're like, yes, it is. It's your timestamp, right? You said that 12:23 yesterday. Like, there it is. I mean, it's on your Twitter page, your Facebook. Mm. You're like, I did not do that. And there's no way to prove that you didn't do that. Now, there's advanced, sophisticated ways where they can go in and tell versus the where your ISP is located, your internet service provider and stuff. But in the meantime, your whole reputation is done. That's type of the information warfare cyber operations we have to look forward to in the next 6 months. Like, what is Russia going to do to distribute fake news, false flags is another way we terminalize this, term this into the American political system, not just America. They're doing this worldwide.
Yes,
their ultimate, I'm writing a research paper. I just got started on a big project on this. I'm really enthused about it with some partners of mine at Augusta University on source hacking, because I think it's not just a threat to international security. It's a threat to the very foundations of democratic governance, because you can't trust your sources. The media provides us with information that we can sift through, that we can test against other information, that we can see if we believe it's right or accurate. Mm-hmm. And that's what a vibrant democracy is based upon. I mean, this goes back to Alexis de Tocqueville, John Stuart Mill, all these individuals that say free thought, free speech, freedom of the press is the number one component of a democracy. And Russia has the ability right now to wipe that part of our democratic system away.
Wow. This is heavy duty. Heavy duty. Our guest again, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Craig Albert. He and I'll be right back. He was ready to just continue.